This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
As we sit here, is there any confirmation from anybody on the whereabouts of this cow that is on the loose? I will say someone texted in about 4 minutes ago to the show, catching up on the show, but the runaway cow happened right by my job. We're right next to the stadium. He just ran by us.
So stop it.
This cow is not still on the loose. Are they going to have to use like a tranquilizer gun or something to slow
down? No, they're going to get up. They're going to get some horses out there. They're going to catch him. And
yes, Brandon Scott is unaware. Just to catch folks up, like Brandon Scott from the rodeo, a runaway cow. A cow escaped from NRG last seen on Old Spanish Trail.
Wait a minute. I know about the cow escaping. I'm trying to figure out why you want to shoot the cow already, man. We got enough cowboys and ranchers out here that can get the cow down without a tranquilizer.
If we're 31 minutes into it and he's moved himself down to the 610 loop, we got to do something.
But have you heard of any victims?
I'm just saying, man.
Don't kill the cow yet.
I'm not trying to kill him. I'm just trying to slow him down.
Man, Ron wants a damn hamburger, and we got a cow on the loose that we got to wrangle here, man.
I want a hamburger, but I don't mean I want it from that cow. I'm just saying.
Be fresh?
I don't need it that fresh, but I'm just saying, what are we doing here? Do we have an update? Cheryl, somebody.
I just refreshed the story. No updates.
Too, repeatedly.
He's still out there.
Somehow Clint keeps finding the front end and the later end of the young black gentleman getting run over.
So here's the update, boys.
This cow's on the lam.
Whatever Clint starts with.
The gentleman that now has one missed tackle update. Early in the game on this. he has one missed tackle. He actually had him squared up. D'Amico would be proud. He actually had the cow squared up, and the cow was running right at him. And then he got shook out of his boots, and I think that's what triggered him. Said, "Hell no, it ain't going down like this." He turned and then decided he was going to see if he could catch the cow. He catches the cow, and the damn cone got him.
That's not the swarm mentality, man.
It was not.
Hey, I tell you what, the other two parking attendants weren't swarming.
No doubt.
My man dipped to the heel.
Hey, no, he's the only.
They swarmed away.
No, he was
the
only
ash.
Swarmy. He was the only swarmy sumbuck in that street. Everybody else was getting the hell out of the way.
Yeah, I would have never guessed he would have been the swarming one on the cow. That was that is
no more swarming.
That's an upset right there. That man said with the missed tackle. He sure gave it all he had though. Good. God almighty. Wow. Damn. All right, we will keep that up. Like at some point. Man, we gotta get a safe update on
this. Oh, yeah. This story's got to come to an end somehow.
Somebody tweeted us and said that they work on the rodeo staff, and this happens every year.
Oh, yeah. I've heard this happening before.
I'm a first-timer here.
I didn't know about every year, but I've definitely heard about some old cows getting loose from the old rodeo Houston.
Yeah, that cow had some vengeance. Sean G, breaking the top Texans free agent targets, and we are going to talk about that. Coming up, what the Texans can do in the offseason, but Sean gets a jump on it. The top Texans free agent target for them is stating online, it's that large cow. Run blocking is top tier, but pass blocking is questionable. So he might fit right on in.
Seems like he might have a discipline problem.
I hope the best free agents on the market are running towards NRG, not away from NRG.
That is the greatest thing. Old Spanish Trail. Scene headed.
Northbound.
Northbound.
All units.
Check that. Spun around southbound. All right. I want everyone to participate in this. You can. Well, hell, I guess, hell, if you don't want to, you don't have to. But let's say you get two moves. You are Nick Caserio. You are D'Amico Ryan. You got two moves. And this is prior to the draft. You can make these moves via trade, via free agency.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Off-season moves before the draft. You could do that. You get two moves, and I mean realistic moves, right? Not that, hey, I'm going to make a trade for us to get Ja'Marr Chase in. No, I'm talking realistic moves. You have two moves out there that are teams that are players that could be on the block or free agents out there. And there are a lot of them out there, right? We just heard Davante Adams. That's one who just hit the market. We know Cooper Kupp is a trade candidate. There are a lot of them. You got two moves to make. Realistic moves. Which one are you going with? Can I tell you one of mine, Clint?
Yeah, give it to me.
My first thing is free agent, and I would go after the guard from the Colts, Will Fries.
Okay.
I think, to me, he is the top realistic guard candidate on the market, with Trey Smith being franchise tag and works trying to get a long-term deal with the Chiefs. He is the next one on the list, a above-average run blocker, but above-average pass blocker, and a good little extra part of it. You're taking him away from the Colts, a division opponent, but I think he feels the biggest need on this team. And as I've said before, I'm also taking draft into account, and I would much rather them have somebody that's a proven player in the league, that has had proven success in the league, that you have a pretty good idea of what you're getting. And that would be where I would go. That would be my first priority right now. It does not look like he is going to get franchise tag. That is where I would go if I were the Texans.
Yeah, look, I would not be mad at that at all. I'm gonna go a little different route. I would go center Drew Dalman that was in Atlanta.
That's not bad.
And again, I know. Look, but before everybody starts jumping here, I understand. You know that he is an accomplished run blocking center. He obviously that's his strong suit. So there is some pass protecting growth and development that needs to take place there. I think that's going to be the case with every one of these young guys. But I think the center is key here. I think getting a center that can, one, communicate, and two, get the job done, I think is key. If he can communicate, the ripple effect across the guards and tackles is absolutely tremendous. Again, Nick Caley has handcuffs on as long as his center can't communicate, right? Regardless whether it's a strong suit, is run blocking, pass block, doesn't matter. Until you find a center that can communicate and has done it at a high level, you're going to have problems. And so I would go with center Drew Dalman. And then, I might as well go ahead and give you my second one. If you're going to take Fries, I'm going to take Kevin Zeitler.
So anything you want in the via free agency trade,
yeah,
you're going two guys interior.
I'm going center guard. One of them, and I know, look, these are realistic, right? We're talking about a guy that's been with Baltimore. We're talking about a guy that's been with Detroit. We're talking about a guy that is 34 years old, but put up some of his best advanced stat numbers, the last couple of years. And so, Kevin Zeitler's, is it Zeitler or Zeitler?
I think it's Zeitler, but
either one of them. He's older, so he's going to be a cheaper, route that they can go. So I think it's realistic. I'd go center guard right there.
And your new line would be?
I'd go have my two tackles that I paid big money to.
It would be Tunzel and Titus.
Tunzel and Titus, how would be my two tackles. I've had Zeitler at right guard. I'd have Dalman at center. And my other guard would be a competition, but probably be Juice Scruggs. I would bring in more depth. No, Patterson would be my backup center, but yeah, he could be a backup guard.
Because
Patterson could be your swing center guard that could back up all three middle positions. Yeah. You could do that. But I would go two offensive linemen. If I had it my way, I'd go two offensive linemen.
Interesting. Two offensive
interior linemen. Offensive linemen, put my tackles back where they belong. One being a younger, not top of the market caliber center. And the other option being an older Obviously, cheaper option at the guard position, but I would make that move.
I want to give my second one, but I want to put a pin into your first one.
Okay.
I want to discuss that one further because I did. I put out a poll. I completely forgot I did, and that gave me a thought of it. My second one, I would go guard first, realistic. These are realistic ones. You can throw yours out as well on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. If you have the ability to make two moves, your Nick Caserio, your D'Amico Ryans, two moves, whether that be getting somebody in a trade and realistic guys that are on the trade block and guys that potentially are free agents that you could bring in, two moves, what are the moves that you would make? My second one would be defensive tackle Jonathan Allen. I think that is one that is realistic.
That's a proven one.
And that is a proven one. And as we've talked about it, I don't know how many other areas across the defense you feel like you can – that you really need a lot of assistance on, maybe safety. But I love sticking him in the middle of the defense. I would love putting him and thinking about pass rush nets. And he's somebody who played the run as well. But, I mean, starting to get a sports Woody with the thought of on one side, Daniil Hunter, on one side, Will Anderson, and then on the inside, Jonathan Allen and D'Amico Autry on pass rushing downs. Just as a football fan and a guy who loves pass rushers and defense, that is a fun group of four. That looks like a group that could do what the Eagles did to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And I think it is realistic. He comes in cheaper than what Deebo Samuel was going to come in on a one-year deal for trade. So those would be my two moves. I'd go for the guard, the top guard on it, and then Jonathan Allen on there. I wanna get to some people, someone just texting, you guys are acting like God, all this cap money. There's a big article on Bleacher Report on how the Texans are in trouble with the cap, even though they've got a quarterback. Okay, a young quarterback. Okay, you can go ahead and believe that they don't have the ability to go get a guard and a tackle. You go ahead and believe that. All right, you can read whatever you want to. You go ahead and believe that.
Hold on, Joe.
Add that up with other teams in the league, and you go ahead and believe that. But I'm gonna stick in here.
Well,
reality.
Let's say you're right, Texter. Let's say you're right.
You're not.
The Texans need to do. If you're right, the Texans need to and would do things like Seattle did today, cut four players and cleared up $28 million worth of cap space. Like the thought of the Texans aren't gonna make free agent moves this year to fill voids, whether it's into your offensive line, wide receiver, or defensive tackle, to think that they're going to sit steady and take cheaper than what I just said. I just had a 34-year-old guard, for crying out loud. I mean, like, if you don't think that they're going to make those kind of moves and can make defensive tackle. I don't know what the hell you think that's wild to me. I just don't the thought that the salary cap is going to keep the Texans from making the necessary moves, whatever that may be, right, to give this team the best chance to take the next step, to me is crazy.
What'd you say, Tyler? The Cowboys just cleared like over $20 million with the restructure of CeeDee Lamb's contract.
I believe that's right. Yeah,
who just signed a deal last year? They restructured that.
Yeah.
I don't have time to have.
Restructuring your big money guys or you're cutting guys that can clear cap space. Either way it goes, the Texans are going to find a way to bring in. They're not going to fill the D tackle void, which, by the way, is probably bigger than I give it credit for. It's D'Amico Ryans. It's his side of the ball. I mean, D'Amico Ryans is pretty adamant about it when he spoke at the combine.
Said it starts up front.
Yeah, I mean, made it sound even more dire than I thought, right? But the interior defensive line, the interior offensive line, and the wide receiver position, and I think you can add even safety out there, given the free agents that are Texans that are free agents now. Like, to think, do you really think they're going to go out there and they're going to fill this void with like super cheap players in the draft and then expect to go out there and forget about the winning aspect of it? Like, do you think they're going to take a shot on an interior, like a couple of different unproven offensive linemen on the interior and then roll C.J. Stroud back out there and let him get pummeled again? I just don't know. The salary cap stuff is wild to me, man. And I'm not as stern about it with you, like it's not even real. But, man, I mean, to think that they can't figure out a way to fix the interior offensive line because they're just so cap-stretched, and we're talking about Drew Dahlman and Kevin Zeitler. I mean, what are we doing
here? They did it last year. They restructured guys to give them even more cushion. They did last year. it's wild. I did want to touch this. I like your center thing. I'm growing a little more stronger on the center thing. I think you just looked at it and thought, boy, guard was so rough last year.
Yeah.
That they might, but the center on the offensive line is more important than your guard. Like it's a you would rather if the three of them up there to your best player, you'd rather it be your center than one of your two guards. Of the three of them.
Yeah, total package, yeah. Absolutely. Look, I'm Jarrett Patterson, truth be told, I wish I had more inside information on Jarrett Patterson. There is a chance. Now, I don't think that Nick and D'Amico, from an ego perspective, I think they're going to try to force Juice to be a center. He's just physically a significantly better player than Jarrett Patterson. But the reality of it is I don't have a problem with my offensive line with a lesser player physically in Jarrett Patterson, who, by the way, gives all-out effort every damn play and is going to make more plays than he's going to miss. But if he's an elite communicator, I would say, hey, I'm cool with Jarrett Patterson at center, and I would do some other things. I just don't know how they feel about Jarrett Patterson. I don't know how—is he a very, very cerebral player, and is he that good of a communicator? If that is the case, then I would go the two guards instead of a guard center.
All right, remember, coming up in this hour, you will have your first opportunity of two in the day, in the 3 o'clock hour, in the 5 o'clock hour. Your first opportunity coming up in this hour to win a four-pack of tickets to see Journey coming up March 14th. So stay alert and ready for the cue to call, but you're having your chance in this hour to win four tickets. Coming up, it is Franchise Tag Day. The deadline is today, and word on the street, the number one potential free agent is available. We'll discuss what that means for him and the NFL coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Those of you scoring at home, and we need you as well. No update thus far. But I would assume this has been resolved with the runaway cow.
All depends on if you went off-road, and I'm telling you.
I did. I went 3 straight minutes during the break trying to find any kind of update. That's it. I did want to update you all on this, and this is something that's interesting coming from Aaron Wilson. Texans have interest in bringing back defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins, per sources, and he has a market around the NFL. Texans were outbid last year by a few million as he signed with Cincinnati. Didn't play a lot, only played 7 games, had viral meningitis, but he is fully healthy, according to this report from Aaron Wilson, from that, which took him out more than half the season. But we know, as we just talked about in the last segment, I suggested maybe bringing in Jonathan Allen. This has the Texans have an interest in bringing back Sheldon Rankins, who 2 years ago was with the Texans year one with D'Amico, had 6 sacks that season, played 15 games. He had some minor injuries there. I do remember him just going off on Joe Burrow and getting 3 sacks in that game himself against Joe Burrow. But your thoughts on potentially that move, Sheldon Rankins, 30 years old, and he'll be 31 when the season starts. But your thoughts about Sheldon Rankins potentially?
Well, one, I know he is a Nick and D'Amico kind of guy. I mean, he is a true blue, natural, authentic leader of men. I mean, he is a great communicator. He fits exactly what they want from a Texans player, and so I don't doubt one bit that he would be in here. And they would want him in here. We had him in a post-game show 1 year, and I was blown away with just the you know, the stories and about Will, and just the way he just talked the game and talked about the locker room and talked about the young guys. And he just naturally is one of those dudes that I would say is an alpha in a locker room. Definitely an alpha, like in the D-line room. I don't know that he's a beat the chest, going to lead the team, call the team up in the locker room, but definitely a guy that lives it and sets the standard every day. And so I know D'Amico and him would be more than happy to have a guy like that back in the house, assuming that the numbers are right. So yeah, that wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, they know him, familiar with him.
Yep.
And they wanted him last year, and I would imagine the price tag wouldn't be as high as the, what did he get last year? 2 years, $26 million. I'd imagine the price tag won't be as high. So that is one to look out for. That may be the route they go to add to their D-line room, because they're going to have to add some additions there. All right, the bigger news around the league, Clint, is the Minnesota Vikings deciding not to franchise tag Sam Darnold, who helped lead them, what did they go, 15-2 or 15-2, didn't they? No, 14-3. I think they lost. Yeah, they lost to the Lions the last game of the season, but led them to one of their best seasons in a while. Got into the playoffs. They lost to the Rams in the opening round, but they are not franchise tagging him. Obviously, they drafted JJ McCarthy in the first round last year, and he was playing really well until he had that meniscus issue that put him out for the rest of the season. He is not franchise tag. It is though in the report saying that the Vikings are still interested.
Yeah,
potentially, but he does have some options, right? The Steelers are looking for a quarterback. The Raiders, we all know the Steelers, Raiders, Giants, Jets. We heard those names being talked about. Titans as well. Those names being talked about with Matthew Stafford. I don't know. Maybe the Colts too. That name that they were thrown out with Matthew Stafford as well. This is a lot up to Sam. I think Sam's going to get probably paid good money, but also it's a big thing of where you're going to go. He's had one really good year, and that was with Minnesota and under Kevin O'Connell and company. I wonder what Sam's thinking and what would be the best move and the best spot for Sam.
Well, I mean, Sam's got to go get paid again, right? I mean, that ultimately, Sam. I think
a big one, yeah.
A lot of times, it's you know. I think with older players, veteran players, like it is more about, hey man, let's go somewhere where I can win. But I think Sam's got to really play into, I got to go get paid.
And he's still only 27.
So yeah, it's just a little different dynamic with Sam. Here's the thing: as we have this conversation, to me, the conversation is less about Sam Darnold specifically, and more about if Mike Tomlin and the Steelers are serious about winning moving forward. They got to go get a veteran quarterback. This whole bringing Justin Fields back, or hell, even bringing Russell Wilson back, but bringing Justin Fields back and dealing, you know, trying to develop him kind of deal. I mean, that is a wild shot in the dark kind of deal. Huge gamble. I think when you look at the market, you got Aaron Rodgers on the market. You got Sam Darnold on the market. The Steelers are, they don't have to have like MVP caliber quarterback play in order to take the next step and get beyond just being above 500 or just sneaking into the playoffs. Like they don't, I mean, and the other part of that is I don't believe this quarterback move is a draft a guy and get it right or Tomlin's gone or yeah. Sign a veteran. Now he may move on. It may be time for them to split one way or another. I just believe that Tomlin's got more job security than some of the guys that are just out there fishing for quarterbacks. And so, the Steelers are the team to me, and I know there's a lot of them you got listed here, Steelers, Raiders, Giants, Jets, Titans. The Steelers are the team to me that, man, if you don't go out and get one of these guys, whether it's Sam Darnold, again, Aaron Rodgers, one of these veteran quarterbacks, I really question whether they're trying to win.
Well, and also in Sam's boat, because obviously, Clint, as you know, Sam's going to have—
Great place, by the way, Sam's boat.
Yeah, it
really still
is.
Open?
It is, yeah. We've done shows there.
I don't know, it's been a couple years. Are they still around?
I think we did one last year. I think we've done it in the last year. They got those great bacon wrapped shrimp. Anyway, that dipping sauce. Anyhow, this is going to be up. Some of this is going to be up to Sam as well, and it's what Sam looking for. You brought up one part. Is he looking to get a payday. At 27, about to be 28, this could be one where Sam is like, I got to get paid big money. And is that the priority? Or is the thought of who I'm with, like what weapons I have, is he thinking I need something similar to what I had with the Vikings and coach and players around me? Or is he also looking somewhere where he's not looking over his shoulder, where he has maybe like Baker and what's happened with Geno, and he has some sort of stability? Yeah. Maybe that's important to him, to go somewhere where it's not like, because I could see the Steelers or the Raiders, somebody saying, yeah, come on in. Our dream would be for you to do for us what you did in Minnesota,
yep,
where we have the young quarterback there, yep, but you play so well, you win us 14 games, yep, to get into the playoffs, and then we drop you. Because it could be like, hey, I want to go somewhere where, like, they're committing to me to be the starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. I'm 27 years old. Like, that could be it there. Would you do that with Sam? If you're a team, would Sam be someone where you're like, I'll treat this like Baker, I'll treat this like Geno.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to go and draft a quarterback. This is going to be a
quarterback. Yeah, I think Sam played well enough to do that. I think you can win with Sam. I mean, I don't know that I'm going to sign Sam and expect him to take me to a Super Bowl and expect him to win 14 or 15 games like he did in Minnesota. But I think they are that. If you're talking about a team like the Giants or a team like the Raiders, who, let's be honest, you're 2 or 3 years, the Jets, you're 2 or 3 years away from even being relevant as it pertains to making a run at a Super Bowl. Would I prefer to go that route than the draft Davis Mills and play Davis Mills? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No question about it. I would do everything that I can to avoid my franchise from going into just the depths of dysfunction that most teams can't climb out of, like have a hard time climbing out of. Like, I would do that, and Sam can keep you from that for damn sure.
Yeah, at least the way he played last year.
I mean, the Jets, you look at it, man, the Jets, the Giants, I mean, they're a year or two away of what they've been doing from just being the damn Browns damn near.
Yeah. Browns always feel like they've been that way. They were in the playoffs.
Browns are the one team that just can't get out.
But they were in the playoffs.
Yeah. Did Jameis get him in the playoffs?
Not last year, year before.
Oh, the year before that.
Texans beat the hell
That's
out
right.
of them.
That's right. Yeah, with Flacco. Yeah.
You thought the Texans was going to lose?
Yeah, I thought they was going to lose.
They beat the hell out of them, the Texans here. All right, coming up, it is the final segment of the 3 o'clock hour. So, you will have a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to see Journey. Stay tuned. Coming up next, you got a chance to win rodeo tickets. That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Well, if you are hearing, I think this is Steve Perry. I don't know if this is Steve or this is the guy who fills in for Steve now. But if you're hearing this right now, that is Journey. That means this is your cue to call. Phone lines are open, 713-572-4610. Caller number 9. Caller number 9. You will have a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to see Journey this year, Friday, March 14th at the Houston Rodeo. All you got to do is be caller number 9, 713-572-4610. As we got going earlier, said right here, this is right here, one of the Mount Rushmore. Get a big group of white folks together, and they're going to belt this out word for word. Others text in, Enter Sandman is on that list, someone said. Closing Time, we talked about. I thought Sweet Caroline and this were 1-2 on that list. But you could be enjoying yourself. Caller number 9. Tyler will take care of you. 713-572-4610. You go see Journey. If you are not able to win on this occasion, you will have a chance for the final time today in the 5 o'clock hour to win a pair, not a pair, four pack of tickets to see Journey coming up in the 5 o'clock hour if you are not able to win right now. 713-574-610. Young Tyler will take care of you. All right. Clint, this thing just keeps getting worse for Nico Harrison. I know Nico Harrison didn't want the whole world to know his name. Last night, the only thing that saved Tyler Milner from not getting, I believe, destined for a straight sweep of missed bets, as he was, what was he, 1-for-5 last night, is Kyrie Irving, who played 9 minutes because he got injured with a left knee. They said a left knee sprain yesterday, but then this morning, Clint, it was declared a torn ACL, and he is out for the season. And it's not funny because it is just messed up. But this Nico Harrison has gotten, what has happened to him in just over 30 days is insane. This is the guy who made the trade for Luka to the Lakers to get Anthony Davis in and preached about, hey, we want to be a more defensive team and all this stuff to get rid of Luka. And Anthony Davis, 7 days after the trade, he comes back to play and suffers that injury to his adductor. And they said they're going to reevaluate that. Clint, he may be out for the year, is what the thought is, especially now. They already had injuries to Derek Lively, who had a right foot stress fracture. Injury to Gafford within the same period. Another one of their bigs who's been injured. By the way, on March 3rd, Dallas announced that they were raising season ticket prices.
Doesn't seem like there's
all at the same time.
No, it doesn't seem like there's much reading the room, much common sense or ability to read the room here, if you will.
They're raising ticket prices, and then later on in that day, Kyrie Irving tears his ACL. And Clint, I don't know what else can happen. This thing. Also, a little side note: the Lakers were in the 7th spot the day of this trade. They now wake up in the 2 spot. And they are 17-4 in their last 21 games, and have only lost twice since Luka was traded there. It is just bad to worse.
Yeah, you know, it is. And as you're talking, I'm thinking, you know, it's pretty self-explanatory how bad this is. I mean, this general manager, really, he shouldn't have a job after he traded Luka. I mean, we are talking about, what is Luka, 25? We're talking about a 25-year-old top 5 player in the NBA that carried your ass to a finals last year, and you don't like the fact that he drinks and smokes a La Hookah, and so he didn't have the work ethic that you like, so you ship him to LA and give the Lakers their future, their pathway to championships for the next 10 years, for you know, Anthony Davis, obviously. But Ron, the more I think about it, I don't know that the injuries aren't saving his ass.
Because it'd be much worse if they were just losing.
If all these guys stayed healthy, and at the end of the year you could see, like, literally, like, right there, record wise, Luka, the impact of Luka going to the West Coast and them, the whole thing falling apart, and you can't lean into injuries and say, well, just be patient with me and see how this thing works out when we're all healthy and AD is full go and he's part of the team. So I don't know that these injuries aren't buying him a little bit of time.
Tyler, I don't think anything is helping.
I don't think there's anything out there that can help you after trading Luka, but clearly he survived that or he would have been fired the next day.
I mean, I'm not from the owner. The owner, they signed off.
They signed off, right?
they were with it. I'm just talking about from the view of it, especially his fan base,
right,
and how people view him.
He can't be saved there.
I said this to you earlier, Tyler. I said this to both of you. I was talking to our boss, Parker, who has ties to Dallas. Mm-mm-mm. I said, man, he's got to be reaching in Dallas to the sport, to the fans.
Yeah.
He's got to be reaching Jack Easterby territory. The way that Houston fans.
Well, I bet it's worse.
You think it's worse? The way that Houston fans thought about Jack, I feel like Nico Harris in the last like 33 days may be on that level. And listen, we sat here through it. We remember Jack. Like, the Jack stuff ran into a lot of tough stuff, but it felt like Jack was involved in a lot of the tough stuff. And we would see what people would send in and text and every, like, Jack Easterby was
Littlefinger.
He was, I mean, that there was a real strong sports hate from the fan base to Jack Easterby. And I'm trying to remain generous by leaving the word sport on there.
I think it's, when you talked about it earlier, look, I think it's a great conversation, because at first I'm like, nah. Look, I mean, that's, you're talking about DeAndre Hopkins getting chipped up out of here ultimately.
Is that the worst
that's where I'm going with it. No, I mean, Luka was obviously bigger than anything Jack did, but you can argue, Jack Easterby is a strong reason why J.J. Watt wanted out. He is a very, very, very big part of why Deshaun Watson wanted out. Now, nobody was talking about that, because what then happened.
You're talking about the Deshaun Watson.
This is before. Yeah, this is before. So when you talk about, like, Luka, it's like, yeah, I mean, Jack Easterby played a big role in why a 25-year-old, you know, all-pro quarterback that was appeared to be the face of the franchise for the next 10 years, why that guy was demanding a trade as well. So, now Nick, I think, had a little bit to do with that, and the relationship Nick and Jack had a little bit to do with that. But, so I think it's a lot more comparable than at first glimpse, you know?
Because the Luka thing is the worst, like, from the sports perspective is the worst thing. But I think both of them did things to just potentially drive the organization.
Torpedo the organization.
But yeah. I think Nico did it in a place of, he really, in his mind, believed this was the course of action.
Well, I don't give
a damn. They're both ignorant.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, one of them was trying to stay prayed about it, and the other one is just ignorant. Like, I don't care either way it goes. The difference here, where I think Ron, the Dallas thing is significantly worse, especially when it comes to the fans. Man, you were in a finals. You were in a final 6 months ago, man.
So 9 months,
exactly.
I mean,
that's
we were over here beating our chest. Bill was over here beating his chest about winning the division,
and you were down 24-0 to the.
Yeah, Chiefs, I mean, you think about the Dallas fan base, the Mavs fan base, man. They were in a finals with the next 10 years. With Luka, of, hey man, we're going, this guy can, not only is he great, sure, he may be a little out of shape from time to time, but we can literally, he can carry us to a finals. They went from that to watching him play in a Lakers uniform in less than 8 months. Yeah.
Holy mother, everybody going down.
This Nico Harrison thing is significantly worse because of where the fan base was when it happened. Like, I think Deshaun had the Texans fan base, and it had all of us in a good spot, but I mean, he wasn't repping in an AFC championship or in a Super Bowl.
Kick Rock says that with Jack Easterby was more than just sports hate, and I think there was some extra to that with Jack, but ultimately it was under his however much control he had, the organization was. You talked about saved Nico. I think he got saved by, hey, what saved them and saved Jack is, we thought, boy, this might be a long situation, and that he didn't get, you know, McCown in as the head coach, which seemed like was maybe destined, and instead of that, you know, they got him up out of here, and then D'Amico and CJ got here and spun things around quickly.
Yeah.
Like that was a big help. But if this would have been Josh McCown, which it seemed like they were trying to get to, whoo.
Well, yeah, look, I mean, let's be honest. Let's be honest, man. I mean, when it comes to this conversation right here and the Jack Easterby stuff, it was, you can't tell me that everybody turned a blind eye on Jack Easterby after all the crap he did for no reason. I don't know for sure, but there ain't no way in hell that D'Amico Ryans was coming here as long as Jack Easterby was in that building.
That's what the Whites used to do.
Oh, yeah. And they finally nipped it. Maybe somebody needs to nip old Nico in the bud, too.
Yeah.
And it might have. What you got coming up at the 4?
Well, Ron, I stumbled up on something yesterday, man. I mentioned something yesterday, and we get a chance to to really get a dig into it. But is there a concern here in Houston on the offensive side of the football that free agents may choose to go elsewhere? Let that stew for a little break here. Y'all think about that. 713-572-4610. Text in once we get to chopping it here in a minute and let us know what you think. That's next right here on Sports Radio 610.